Everybody else remaining, head to Matthew chapter 28. I want to applaud Dylan for or anybody that is leading us, Rick and David. When we throw a new song in there, I know sometimes it's kind of difficult when we haven't heard it, but the only way you ever learn a new song that becomes an old song is you just keep singing it. And I usually tease us a little bit to say, if you have a problem with new songs, you got to remember Amazing Grace one day was new. And it's been around for a while, and some of these newer songs will be around for a while, and then they'll grow old, and we'll have to dust the rust off of them. We have dedicated every first Wednesday night downstairs to try to learn some newer songs. We need more of you to be there because, you know, or we need a kind of a reason why we had a praise team is to have the four parts so that you could listen and hear somebody that's already learned it. And so hopefully, prayerfully, I know it's my prayer, we can get back to that and to the point to where we can harmonize even on some newer songs that might be new and fresh for us. Cammie and I found a saying up in Blowing Rock when we were just getting away for a day and walking around, went in one of the stores, and on the sign it says, "Just when my hallelujah has grown tired, he gave me a new song." And I thought that was really appropriate because the freshness of newness is just really, really fun. And so I applaud Dylan for bringing, you know, those to us, and we'll just keep working on it together. I also thank Brian for sharing his experience because I really believe that when we hit this, this is kind of a end of a series, but not an end of a series, because we're going to talk about what we were created for and this whole thing about bringing glory to God. We've gone over one part in a two-part week, and I'm going to kind of end it today with the third part, so I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but you know, I used to take an offense when I meet up with people and they've been to a church family of some sort and you ask them, you know, where they're at or where they've been. And different people have different reasons why to have a relationship. I think we miss the mark when we really zero in on the church. The church has faults. All you have to do is open up Scripture and start reading. Because you think after the Gospels, most of it was about a corrective mode of what people just didn't get right that God really wanted them to get right, and Paul wrote some letters about it. And then John kind of describes who God is and our relationship with him. And if we're admitting people, we can say that we're still growing, but we're determined. We make mistakes, but we're sorry for that. Come and experience a journey to learn how to love more perfectly. There's going to be Judases in probably every congregation. If Jesus picked a person that betrayed him, there's going to be people betraying the Lord in churches. But we need to know how to not defend ourselves or get defensive. We just need to learn how to share love when somebody comes up that way. I've always heard that one phrase that Brian talked about, it being where they said, right, the Bible says that wherever two or three together, I'm there with them. One of these days I'm going to hit that verse because that's really not talking about a worship assembly, okay? Because I can go up on the Blue Ridge Parkway and get out and get in a chair and look at the majestic creation of God and start praising and worshiping Him. I can sacrifice my time and effort to take people to doctor's appointments or pray with them when they come to the food pantry, or a homeless person walks across our campus and needs some food. I can offer my body as a living sacrifice to give and do the best I can in serving people. And the Bible tells me that's worship. But one of these days, hold on tight. I want to be able to look at that. What does it mean when two or three are gathered together? If you really look at it, I believe what it's saying is that they're coming together after disputing with each other, and the Lord is among two brothers and sisters or whoever's in relationship coming back together, okay? We'll look at that at another time. But have you ever asked the question, why were you created? I mean, we've been talking about how God said from Genesis, I created mankind in my own image, right? Sin separated us from that image because sin leads us to serve ourselves. So we were created to display His image. And now, even though sin has contaminated, we can take sin seriously and work on sin in our life and help other people who are willing and have been cut by God and by the Spirit of holiness to be able to live a life where they can find the power of God in them as well to get the contamination out of their life. And yes, they have to desire that, but I need to desire that as well. So God created me for His glory. I love this picture. I found this on a website that, why was I created? And they answered, I was created for love. Then they scribbled that out and put, I was made for His glory. I have been created as a human being to bring glory to the image I was created in. To show how the beauty of His Spirit truly is when it lives inside a human being. It's bragging about God. I was made for His glory. We've looked at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and it says, in whom we were also chosen, have been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be praised for His glory. So here's your fill in the blank if you like doing that. I read an article this week about how this, at least this person says, it's very effective to always give your listeners something to write notes on and fill in the blanks because they get to take it home. Now, the thing is do you take it home and ditch it or use it? Okay? Do you take it home and restudy it? Are you being a Berean where you go home and say, I'm going to find out if this rascal's even telling me the truth? Okay? And so I'm going to dig into here and read it and just find out. Was I deceived by this guy named Kevin this morning? Or was God trying to speak through him? I love Terry Rush's. I have to find the verse again, but I love Terry Rush's always explanation that, because he didn't look the preacher type. I don't know what you're supposed to look like to be a preacher, but he just didn't look like one to somebody. And they said, well, can you speak? And he says, I tell you one thing, if God can speak through a donkey, He can speak through me. And so I think that just kind of fits our situation as well. But God is calling us as a church here at Hickory, I believe, to bring glory to His name, to display the beauty of His Spirit in our lives, in our individual lives, with the people that we come in contact with, together and how we show others our relationship. That's why we invite people to hot dog hayrides. Do you realize that? That's what we need to invite. Expose them to the beauty of the Spirit of God. Why do we invite people to come to Family Fun Fest? To expose to them the beauty of the Spirit of God. Because he's been given our spirit when we commit our life to Jesus, and his spirit lives among us, and he lives inside of us, and he's working on us because we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to actually transform us into the likeness of his Son. And when that happens, you and I share the beauty of his Spirit. Number two was that we went over. It took 2 weeks to do that. God is calling the church to build up one another, to show the beauty of God's Spirit as a family in relationship with each other. So why do we invite people to hot dog hayrides? Why do we invite people to family festivals? So that they can see the kind of relationship you and I are having, so that we could share and show the beauty of God's Spirit. That's why we do things. Why should I invite somebody to come on Wednesday night? Why should I invite somebody to do anything this church does together? Why should I be a part of a discipleship group? To bring glory to God as he and his Spirit transforms me into the likeness of his Son, and we're there to build one another up. Amen. So that the beauty of his Spirit will be shown in our relationships with each other. Now, tell me one thing. If we decide not to do that, do you think people may go to churches and be like Brian and say, hey, they're full of hypocrites? I don't think if we're not showing the beauty of Christ and we're not building one another up to share the love of Christ with each other, when we invite people to be around us, they're going to see it. And instead of getting defensive at it, I think all we have to do is just say, what do I contribute to that kind of attitude? Why would they think that? I mean, I read in the Bible the hypocrites, Jesus really challenged them. They believed in God. They just had a set of rules beyond God's rules, and they tore a lot of people down. And so they play-acted as if they were holy. And so that happens. So how do we prevent that? You know, how do we take it and say, yes, I contributed to that part in my life. So I know I'm not perfect. I might as well just go ahead and admit it. But I'll tell you one thing. I want people to know that my desire is to pursue it. I want to pursue holiness. Because God is holy, and I want to live more according to his image that he created me to be. Okay? So that's why, I mean, trying to explain to us that maybe we haven't thought church correctly. Maybe we haven't been taught church correctly. Because we are created to bring glory to him and build one another up. And that can be done. We don't have to argue over methods. Because we should be open to different kind of methods to get the message out. The methods that were used 50 years ago may not work as well as they did back then. The method needs to be considered maybe something that needs to be altered. We should not have a problem with that. But sometimes people do. So, what do we do? Now, I think we just got to get back to say, what are we here for? Bring glory to God, build one another up. third one today. Rick Warren, in his book, I really suggest this, you know, for all new Christians, is just to consider some of the things that he has to say. He's not Christ himself. He's not. He's a preacher. He loves the Lord and everything, and he writes out what a lot of Christian writers write, but I really admire him taking 40 days to try to discipline us to be in the Word for 40 days. Because Jesus, after he was baptized, where did he go? Help me out. Yeah, he went out to the, led by whom to the wilderness? By the Spirit of holiness, okay? What happened there? He got tested. Satan came tempted, okay? For how long? 40 days, all right? I think the most vulnerable and the most important part of a Christian's walk to stay close and stay faithful to Jesus and not learn to follow a church system but continue to follow the Savior that saved them from their sin happens within the first 40 days of their baptism. I think it's crucial. And we need to take it as crucial. What did he say? A. Here's his A through E. You can get the book. You can go down through 40 days. But here's what he said. There's the verses. I think I gave you the verses, didn't I? Okay. But here's what he said. We bring glory to God by fulfilling our purpose on earth. A is, I've been planned for his pleasure. I was created to bring pleasure to God. Make him happy. Remember what Jesus, after he was baptized, the voice from heaven came down and said, what? This is my son. I'm well pleased with him. Okay? Who's the best person to follow and to imitate on earth in order to please the Father? Jesus Christ. Okay? So, I've been planned for his purpose, for his pleasure, I'm sorry. B, formed, I've been formed for his family. I was not supposed to live this Christian life by myself. I got arms and I got legs and I got mouths and I got eyes in a body of Jesus Christ. And I'm a part of that. Again, I really do believe, we've been studying on Wednesday night. Hey, I'm going to get back. We don't study it. We discuss it and search for it. Study seems to be something like what I did in school. I studied it. I took the test. I got rid of it and forgot it. When you pursue it and you practice it, it becomes who you are. Okay? So, I'm formed for a family. C, I'm created to become like his son. Romans 8:29. Again, I'm not making these up. Rick Warren's not making it up either. It's just what he saw in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Letter D, I'm shaped for his service. I'm to serve. Jesus came to earth to serve, not to be served. And that's what I need to be shaped into. Not talk about service. Do it. E, made for his mission. Planned for his pleasure, formed for his family, created to become like his son, I'm shaped for service, and I'm made for his mission. Here's the one we have difficult with. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Here we go. Jesus came to them talking about to the 11 disciples, because Judas is already out of the picture. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You can put of all peoples, all nationalities, whatever you want to put in there, it would work. All individuals, everybody. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't baptize people into the church. We baptize them into a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then they become church. Okay? They become called out with that relationship. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, right now, just for a few more minutes, I'm just going to open up my heart, open up my mind, and I pray that you can use it in order to say the things that you want me to say, and just to lay a seed on the hearts of everybody here. I know everybody here loves you, but boy, we are being attacked by an enemy, and sometimes we're alone. Sometimes we're alone by choice. Sometimes we're just not gathering together. We're forsaking times to be together. Sometimes we're not here because we just can't be here. But we need to connect with each other. We need to connect with you on a daily basis. We need you, and we need each other to be able to share your beauty to a lost and dying world. Father, we want more disciples in your kingdom. And I pray that this church would be a family, that as we're building our relationship with you and building our relationship with each other, wants to build relationships with other people so that they can become disciples of your Son. I don't know what it's going to take to change all of our hearts. You know what our distractions and our faults and our reasons that are just not in line with your purpose. Reveal those things to us. And may we respond with the true love we say we have for you. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, we say together, amen. Eventually, I'm going to do probably a series on the gifts that are displayed or has shown, and how it works together for the purposes of the body of Christ, like serving, like going out on a mission and sharing to lost people, how everybody is involved in that, and because I think we've got it a little bit distorted of how the family works together and how the body shifts together. Service should always be done in order to win a soul, never to get people to think that we're a great church. It's all about God. And so it depends on what we do it for. Okay? I want you to go to John chapter 17. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'd love for you to read it when you get home. But I want you to hear the prayer of Jesus. And this is right before he meets with his disciples and says that, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to be with the Father. I need you to go to all different places. I need you to go all different nations, all different cities. I need you to convince them that I am the Messiah, and make them followers. Make them people who would follow my teachings that I taught you. Okay? And so you go in there and you baptize them in a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them everything I have taught you. That's a key. One of the things that Jesus taught them, he didn't teach them one another. And this is one thing I have to really, really feel like that I need reprogrammed in my head. He did not take them to Christ University and set them in a classroom. He went through life with them, journeying around the different cities, showing them how to treat people and how to love people. And he taught them what the Father really desired out of them by living through life. That's why I do believe it's important for us to get together for Bible discussion. We do need to do that. But we need to do the Word together and find some ways in our schedules to add that to be our part, or maybe decrease one part so we can fit it in to our life. We need help to know how to make disciples at our workplace, how to look for people who are lost. That's really supposed to be my role, and elders' roles and deacons' roles, is to equip every saint in order to do works of service. And that's just not going to get done just only in a classroom. That's not how Jesus taught. God's calling the church, number three, to go make disciples. I was talking with Brother Ray Catlett a few weeks ago, and I don't think you penned this phrase, but you use this phrase, but you be one to make one. Be a disciple so you can make a disciple. It's hard to make a disciple if I'm not one myself. Actually, it's probably impossible because you won't do it. You can't make disciples if you're not already are learning how to be one yourself. Admitting your faults, admitting your weaknesses, asking for prayer, praying for them, looking into God's Word and, hey, let's go out and practice this together and see what happens. That kind of training and equipping. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for himself. And I want you to look at verse 4. I'm just going to read the first five verses and let you hear what he has to say. John 17. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. He's talking about going to the cross, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have you have given him. Now, this is eternal life. Okay? Let's stop right there. Ask yourself, do you want to know what eternal life is? Do you like to know it? Because Jesus is about ready to tell us. Here's what he says. Eternal life is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Eternal life starts when I get to know who God is, and I get to know who Jesus Christ is, whom he sent for me. That's when it starts. But he said, I came to finish the work. You know what he probably told the disciples? I'm going to go back to heaven in Matthew chapter 28. You guys go finish the work. And you teach everybody that you teach in these nations and you baptize them everything I taught you. You know, eventually that catches up with us. It finally works its way down through all the generations if done properly and done as a motive, that if we want eternal life, then we get to know who God is and we get to know who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and we go out and help other people to start following him like we're following him, And then we're doing everything that we've been taught to do by him, because we have pinned down how he taught the disciples. Isn't that incredible? That's how the church can continue to reach lost souls, is that we're just going to be doing what he asked them to continue to do, to complete the work. The work is save people. At least go out and try. Don't get distracted away from your mission. By doing the mission of making disciples, we'll need to build each other up, because it's a hard job out there dealing with lost people, because they're going to have any kind of excuse of why they shouldn't. Then you just love them. Then you're looking for somebody that has a heart that's just wide open. They're sick of this life, and they feel like they have no hope. And then you tell them and say, would you like to have eternal life? Yeah, boy, that sounds nice. But as long as it's not here. No, it's not here. But I tell you one thing, it can begin here. And it begins by getting to know who God is and Jesus, the one he sent. Would you like to get to know them? I mean, those are the things that we can be saying and practicing, working together, building one another up, serving each other. We got the feet, we got the eyes, we got the hands, we got the mouths, in order to be able to complete the mission that God wants us to complete. Jesus prayed for them, prayed for his disciples. Then, in verses 6 through 19, he prays for his disciples, that they will glorify God by making other disciples like he had made them. A daily application of God's word has a purifying effect on our minds and on our hearts. The spirit of holiness will point out our sin, our hypocrisy, our motives that we need to confess. He will renew our relationship with Christ and guide us in the right direction. Now, I want you to go to verse 20. I'm just going to read the six verses, and I'm going to pin out some things in John 17, 11 through, I guess 11 through 17. So then the lesson's yours. My prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about the 11. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are one in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they might be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So, Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. I think you need to reread that and reread that and reread that. Because really, what is God trying to say to us right there? He's not only just going to pray for the 11 disciples, he's going to pray for the ones who accept their message. Well, we've got their penned message in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right? You read the gospel. Somebody else reads the gospel. Somebody down in the community, in your neighborhoods. If we go through and say, hey, do you want to read a little bit more and get to know who God is? Then you get to know who Jesus is. And then you go, like, well, who are these people that come over to your house? Or the people that you go over? Well, there are other disciples just getting together to build one another up. Because I tell you, it's very hard. We're tempted by the evil one. We have an enemy. And I can't handle his temptations by myself. When I do, I fall. And when I fall, I need somebody there to pick me up. And I got a church that helps to pick me up when I fall. Really? I thought they were full of hypocrites. You mean you guys love each other that much? That's weird. Come along. Find out. Do you see how slander, gossip, envy, jealousy, all those factors in scriptures that Paul says for the church to stay away from? Do you see how that's going to destroy our relationship with each other? Because if Satan can destroy our relationship with each other, we'll never work together on a mission. Never. And God just says, I have a different plan. In John 17, verse 11, Jesus says this, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I want you to get this, and then I'll let you go. Number one, what is this whole purpose on this mission? Jesus says he wants his disciples to be united in purpose. And did you catch how united he wants us to be? He wants you and I to be united with each other just like Jesus is united with God. Wow. Now, I'm just going to ask one question. You do not have to raise your hand. Do you think we need to work on that? That we're united in purpose, just like Jesus and God is. Something to pursue. Something to go after. Number two, found in verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus wants us to be united in purpose, and he wants God to protect us from the evil one. Because the evil one's going to seek to destroy. That's why the old saying is that Satan spends more time in the lives of people who claim to be Christ's followers, trying to get them to be lone rangers. Because when they fall, there's nobody around. Man, he'll spend a lot of time in our life. Do you sense him around? I mean, just as much as you know God's a part of your day, do you ever sense Satan's right there? And he's tempting us to do the quite opposite of what we remember Scripture to teach us. And number three is in verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It's not about church. It's not about a church system. It's about a relationship. And we should love each other enough that we are united in purpose with each other and want to get out there and complete the work that Jesus was doing and the disciples were doing. And if we got to change some methods to do it, we're going to change them. Because it's not about the methods. I might like a method over another method, but hey, who owns the method? I know one that owns the message, and that's Jesus. And he wants us to be pure and holy. He wants us to be set apart for his purpose. That's what sanctifying means. And so I leave this with you. Boy, it's a hard challenge. I know you guys are really good, and you listen really well. I know sometimes it's really long. But then again, I have to remind you, this is the only time I can have you in one setting unless I travel around to get around to all your living rooms. And I can't do that. Sometimes when I knock, you're not home. Or trying to catch up with all of our brothers and sisters who I know is struggling through physical things. So we're going to talk about one another, I think, in one of our classes ahead, taking care of one another. So I can do more equipping and do more connecting with our community. I think it's needed. I think you guys love each other enough to learn how to love each other more, to take care of each other. So I can go out and try to find some people that don't know who Jesus is. And I'd love to have some more people along with me on that one. Somebody like the whole church. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for an opportunity to share your word. I pray that it can be uplifting, even though it is very challenging. It is very straightforward. It exposes my faults and my weaknesses, but that's okay. You don't do it to destroy us. You expose our faults and weaknesses to our minds so that you can build us into the likeness of Jesus. Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters. I pray for all the ones that are shut in because they can't get here because of physical weakness. I thank you for examples like Brother Roy and Sister Billy, and even though they can't drive around and get around, we're going to use technology that Satan's using in a lot of people's lives in order to bring glory to your name. And we call and they wish happy birthday, and they call and they wish them happy anniversary. They call when they miss them. I pray that there be something that can be instilled into our hearts, all of our hearts. But we realize we can't do that for everybody. And the numbers keep getting bigger. So I pray for these groups that our spiritual leaders want us to be a part of, that we would give it an opportunity. And like we talked about last week, help us to know it's not about can I attend a meeting, can I not attend. It's about connecting to each other on a weekly basis. And then the ones who can meet can meet. And can just continue to love on you and love each other and go out and reach out to the people who don't feel your love. Sounds simple, but protect us from the evil one. And may we be a church that will always desire to bring glory to your name. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we'll do that, and we say together, amen. There's a fountain free. It's for you and me. Let's stand.